God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. See there, that's salvation. You present your body. You hear what I'm saying? God now has you. You present your body. When I brought my baby home from the hospital, when she was born, when I brought her home, I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know what to do. I could remember how my father was to me. And I remember thinking, you know what? If I can be as supportive and as loving as my father was to me, then I'll be okay. The problem was, I didn't know what kind of character she was going to have. How would she deal with situations? How would she deal with me? Would I be able to handle her confronting me, adjusting to my level of discipline? Not abusive discipline, but corrective discipline. So it was trial and error until I established a middle. It was impartation and a lot of prayer, not just for her, but Lord, teach me how to be a good father. You're with me? When you live by faith, it is a constant readjustment of you. Once you come to Jesus, Romans 12, 1, that's not the end. It's the beginning. Bringing the baby home is the beginning. She just completed a 9-month journey of ultimate rest, security, prosperity, comfort, protection. And now she's thrust out into the world, still looking for every attribute that she had in that womb, and coming into shock that it's not there. Realizing for the first time in her existence, I wet myself. Somebody's putting something in my mouth to feed me. They are capitalizing on natural muscle movement. Faith shifted. It went from mama's womb to the people around me. Now, if you are not skillful in raising that child, you will cause them to have irreplaceable faith in you, and they will never be functional adults. They will never come to a place where they can master their lives because you did not allow them to develop faith in what they had. Every time they needed money, you gave it to them. Even when they got to be 21 and 30, you gave it to them. Mama, daddy, I need, here. What are you doing? You're teaching them to continue to have faith in you. Never in their ability to get a job. Never in recognizing their gifts to be successful and prosperous. You loved them, but you neutered them by keeping them in a position of needing you. And God sends messages to the children. When God takes your parents away from you, he's saying you're going to be all right. I know it sounds weird, but if you needed them, he wouldn't take them because he promised to give you what you need. So we become, you know, sort of dysfunctional. Mama gone, daddy gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. Stop for a moment. Once you get past the 7 stages of grief, come to the realization God took them, but he also had somebody to step in. God took my mother, but gave me another one. You follow me? Gave me another one. Put her right in that place to be that same spiritual mother. She may not have borne me biologically, but the spiritual connection is such that she can feel when I'm going through. When you live by faith, you don't question what God does. You learn to trust what he does. That's living by faith. That's not situational faith that I rise and fall based on circumstances and conditions. Whatever he allows, he works out. The woman said, my mindset had to change. Paul says, the first thing you do is present your body. And then he says, the next thing is practical holiness. Be not conformed to the world. Separate yourself from the worldly environment to this extent that you don't do what they do. You don't put your confidence in a sinking ship. Listen, the Constitution says we have certain rights and privileges, and then there are certain things that we do, such as voting. We vote. And here is the paradox for the Christian. You're supposed to vote, but you're not supposed to put your trust in the person you vote for. Now, that's kind of a quandary. You close that curtain and you're like, who's going to do the best job for me? You're putting your confidence in somebody who could die tomorrow. Why not put your confidence in somebody who already died, conquered death? If Jesus conquered death, what makes you think he can't conquer your situation or conquer your financial dilemma? You vote, but we're not supposed to put our trust in the person we vote for. You cast your ballot, but you put your trust in God. So that when they start going nuts, you're not shaken by it. People tell me things that President Trump does. I'm like, oh, well, he's a human. He's like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got up one day, and believe me, Babylon was beautiful. In fact, it was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the world. It was a beautiful place. That's why Saddam Hussein believed that he was the modern Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to restore Babylon back to where it belonged, which is a combination of Iran and Iraq together. He was going to restore that whole biblical Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar went outside and looked. He was on his balcony, and he looked at Babylon, and he saw all the beautiful things there. And he said, I did this. I built this great city. And the Bible said God came down and hit that rascal. He grew long nails like an animal, long hair. He had the first, you know, Jamaican dreads. And the Bible said he ran around eating grass for 7 days. When he was finished, the Bible said, he stood up and said, there's no God but Jehovah. He no longer stated he built everything. Now, he did some crazy things afterwards, but he had perspective after God brought him low. When you keep putting your faith outside of God, God's going to keep letting those people fail. And this is how you know where your faith is. When you get angry when people don't do what you expect them to do, it's because you put your faith in them. I can stand before you this day and tell you nothing no one does can make me angry because I don't put my faith in anybody. You can disappoint me, but you're not going to make me angry because I hope you'll do what you say. But I, you know, way back in my pragmatic mind, there's a compartment called I know they ain't going to do it. And it's not because you don't want to. It's because I may be asking you to do something past your ability. And rather than tell me the truth, Pastor, I can't do that, you give me an indication that you can. So Paul says, first, you submit your body. Secondly, you begin to produce holiness by separating yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, going into chapter 7. You abandon relationships. You abandon conforming yourself to the things in your society, in your culture. You remove yourself from all that. Then God says, I'll be a father to you. Now, once that happens, notice the next thing he tells you in chapter 12 of Romans. He said, now you start working on your mind. Now, because Paul is the consummate theologian and the other apostles didn't deal with these concepts, even Peter's writing. Peter, in the second letter of Peter, he addresses some of those things when he talks about what you should remember. He said, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, so forth and so on. He says, and if you do those things, then you won't forget that God has brought you out. Well, Paul says that you and I must change our thought patterns. Why? Because the changing of the thought pattern is indicative of the new Christ that's living inside of you. You can't have Christ living inside of you and think the same way. No more than you can get married and keep living like a single person. You can't get married and just get up and walk out the house at 11 o'clock at night without saying something to your spouse. There was an episode of Martin where after he married Gina, he went to the gym and he had just gotten married, and these ladies were working out in the gym and they would turn around and say, oh, hi, brother, and they saw Martin's ring. Martin took his ring off. He said he wanted to see if he still had it. And so he took his ring off, and the women were hitting on him when they didn't see the ring. He took the ring off because he wanted to live like a single person, because his friends were saying, Gina got you a beeper. You know, in other words, you under that married control. Anyway, so he took off the sign, and then he couldn't find his ring. And then Gina found the ring in the gym bag and dropped it down in the drain. And so they're both trying to lie to each other to get through it. But see, the important fact was that Martin was being pressured to live like single person. And what he did, he took off the ring so he could present something that he wasn't. Now, many of us came to Christ, but we held on to people whose lifestyle was contrary. Now, listen to me very carefully. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, when you come in, Romans 12, 1, when you present yourself, there are steps that must be undertaken. You can't continue to live like an unbeliever once you become a believer. And church and all the things in the church are supposed to be driven to that point, that everything we do teaches you how to function like a believer. Not in bondage, but in maturity. Now watch what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you can grow more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now look at this. He tells you here in verse 3 that you should abstain from it. So what is the next question in the interrogatories? What's the next one? How? So how does the Pentecostal tell you to abstain? Avoid the people who make you, you know, feel a certain way. Don't watch certain movies. Don't go places where sex is flaunted. All of those things, right? So you feel that if you do those things, that's holiness and you're okay. But it doesn't deal with here. This is where sex starts, here. It starts here. Now watch Paul, because the Holy Spirit is going to help us in our understanding of this conversion process. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. In other words, you ought to know your limits. You can't go everywhere because some things are triggers. Some places call for a response that you cannot support. Some television shows require a fantasy life that you can't give. They make you desire where you can't go. So what is Paul saying here? The English translation of this: don't do it. Don't do what you can't support.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10517P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.